So, not the Mefarshim, just to get it, just a little chazara. We went through very quickly yesterday. Perek Lamed Ches begins by Yishma Shefatya ben Matan Ugdalio ben Pashur v'Yuchal ben Shelem Yahu u'Pashur ben Malkiah es hadvarim asher Yirmiyahu medaber el kol am leimar. So these four people were not good people. These four people were very evil people. They heard the harsh words that Yirmiyahu predicted. What's going to happen to Yerushalayim? What did they hear him say? So says Hashem, Hayeshev Yir Hazos Yomus. They heard him say, anyone who is living in the city will die by cherev, barav, uvadover. Three ways of dying: by sword, by famine, by a plague. But if someone defects to the custom, they will live. Yirmi over here is giving instructions to the people in Yerushalayim that the only choice for survival is to surrender. And his life will be for him as a spoils of war. At least he'll save his life. He may not be able to save his possessions, but at least he will have his life in his hands. Koyamar Hashem, because so says Hashem, Hinoson Tinosen Hoyer Hazos Biat Chel Melech Bavel Ule Ule Chodo, because so says Hashem. Yirmiyahu is continuing this part of the message of Yirmiyahu, because so says Hashem, this city will certainly be delivered in the hands of Melech Bavel and will be captured. Fine, so this is what these four individuals heard Yirmiyahu say. So what did they do? They tattletailed on him to the Melech. Vayomu Hasorim El HaMelech Yumas No Esho Ish Hazeb. They came to Tzidkiyahu, who was, Chazal tell us, was a tzaddik. And they said to Tzidkiyahu, this man, Yirmiyahu, he has to be put to death. He is guilty of treason. Aki alkein hu merapei es yidei anshei hamelchamo hanishorim bo'ir hazos. He is weakening the morale of the warriors who have survived, who are still alive in this city. V'eis yidei kol ha'am. And likewise, he's weakening the morale of all of the survivors. L'daber aleihem kadvarim ho'eleh. To tell them these harsh words. Ki ho'ish hazeh. This man, Yirmiyahu, einenu doresh l'shalom l'am hazeh ki'im l'ra'ah. He does not seek out the good and welfare of the people. The only thing he wants, he has pride, he has pleasure in witnessing and predicting their evil. Okay, so this is what we got up to yesterday. This is what the report that these four people gave over to Tzidkiyahu, and they made a request that he be put to death. Now we continue. Vayomer hamelech Tzidkiyahu, hinehu b'yetchem. Shocking thing that the tzaddik Tzidkiyahu, he bowed to public pressure. Okay, he was under the pressure of these people, and he said, do to him what you want. Ki ein hamelach yuchal eschem dovar. This is a very unusual expression. Yuchal means able, and the simple translation here is that the king, there's nothing the king can do against your desire. Ki ein hamelach yuchal, the king has no ability to overcome you, eschem you dovar, with any matter of protest. If you want to put him to death, so be it. I will not stand in your way. I recognize that my reign on power is weak. I only rule through the people. Okay, even though he was a melech, he was not a moishel. A melech is a melech b'loyam. A moishel is a dictator. So you make the decisions against the will of your people. There's always a balance. If a king makes decisions that are not popular, there's going to come a point in time where the people are going to depose him. Here, Tzidkiyahu, he felt that his malchus was vulnerable to the will of the people. The people were unanimous in wanting Yirmiyahu to be put to death. And he realized it would be either him or Yirmiyahu. And therefore he said, do whatever you want. Yeah.
How long had he been on the throne after the 100-day...
No, he's been on for now 9-10 years. This is the very end. This is taking place at the very end of the siege. This is taking place. Tzidkiyahu was king for 11 years. I think it says it was in the 10th year.
Okay. So he can't complain that, hey, I just got here. And
no. He's been in power for at least 10 years. But now he realizes it's going to be either him or Yirmiyahu. Okay, let's see the Mitzudos. Okay, now, I don't know, maybe I have a mistake in my gears, in my text. You tell me what it says in your gears. So, I don't know how to read what it says in the Mitzudos. Ki ein ha-melech yuchal eschem davar, ko-oymer. This means to say, atem mamrim ba-melech. You, the people, are rebelling against the king. I really don't want to put him to death. I don't want to put him, but you are rebelling against the king. Ve'ein lo imachem yuchal esma limchos b'yetchem. But lo, I think lo here means the king. The king is not able to overcome you. You, the people, are more powerful than the melech. If you want to put him to death, I have nothing I can possibly do. You can do with him whatever you want. Kirashi, yuchal, kamo yochol. Yochol, in other words, yuchal is the same word as yochol when you change the chof and the vav. Able. Al asher hu merape es. I have no ability to do anything because, you're right, because he's weakening the people, and therefore there's nothing I can do. If you want to kill him, go right ahead. Im ho'anoshim vatuchol. And you prevailed. And you overcame them. So in Echnami, they have the same word, very good. You have the same word over there as well. Correct. Okay, let's see over here. Radak. Ki ein ha-melech yuchol eschem davar. Ein minog. Loshoin hakodesh lova milas ein im hakinuyim ho'ivrim v'ho'asidim. It's not the custom in Loshon HaKodesh to connect these words, the word ein, with the word with the word yuchal. Yuchal. I'm not sure what the Radak means. Im kein perush ein hamelech. What does it mean here? Ein hamelech. The king is not. Sheyuchal Eschem davar kloimar, einenu kedai sheyuchal lasos davar kinegdechem shlobert soinchem. Okay, I'm not sure exactly what he's trying to point out over here in the grammatical structure of this pasuk, but he means that it's not fitting. There's nothing I can possibly do. If you want to go and kill him, do what you want. Okay, v'yonis antigim kmo yochol lesmach malko yochil is not able laasovoyas choin piskama. To hold back. I'm not sure what he means over here, Lassov. I don't know what that means either. But the gist of what it's saying over here is that I'm not able to prevail upon you. I personally would prefer that Yirmiyahu be left alone. He is a holy man. Don't bother him. But if you, the people, want to put him to death, I realize that at this point in time, in the Malchus, at this stage, I have no choice but to let you do to him what you want. Let the next pasuk. Pasuk is Dov. Vayichu es Yirmiyahu. They took Yirmiyahu. Vayashlichu eso el habar. They threw him to the bar. Now here it says, I think two people threw him to the bar. Malkiyahu ven hamelech. Okay, Malkiyahu, the son of the king. Asher b'chatzar hamatara. They threw him into the pit. Now I'm sorry. This is not the person who threw him. This is the pit that they threw him into. They threw him into the bar. Which bar? The bar of Malkiyahu ven hamelech asher b'chatzar hamatra, that was in the prison. Vayishalchu es Yirmiyahu b'chavolim, they lowered him with ropes. Uvabor ein mayim, there was no water. Ki'im tit, cement, there was mud. Vayitba Yirmiyahu b'tit, and he sunk in the tit, in the mud. Okay, so here we have here that indeed they went and they tried to kill him. Now they did not. We will see. The Medrash says that it was a miracle that he did not die, because in this pit there was water and there was mud. Now it's normal that when you have mud and water, the mud sinks to the bottom and the water floats to the top. The water is on top. That means Yirmiyahu, when he came into the water, he would have drowned. He should have drowned and died. But it was a miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the mud to rise to the top. So the mud was floating above and the water was below. And that way Yirmiyah did not drown. So it was a nace. That's according to one of the Midrashim. Let's see over here the Mefarshim. Let's see from the Mitzvot's Pasuk Vav. El Habar Malkiyahu. They threw him into the pit Malkiyahu. El Habar Shel Malkiyahu. Ashohoy B'chatzah Matarah. They threw him into this pit. Vayishalchu. Vayashlichu, lefi shoy habar amuk, since the pit was very, very deep, they lowered him with ropes. Lezeh hoy riduhu al yidei chavolim, they lowered him with ropes, vayitba, and he sunk. Miksas gufoy nitba betit ki hoya rach velach. Part of his body sunk into the mud, because the mud was not a hard mud, the mud was a loose mud. Okay, Rashi, pasuk vav habar,
a
type of quicksand, okay. Habar Malkiyo, Shel Malkiyo, the pit belonged to the person whose name was Malkiyo, who was the son of the king. Okay, Radak, Pasik Vav, El Habar Malkiyahu ben Hamelech, Ba Bismichus Imahe Hayidia. Okay, the word Habar is next the word El.
No, it should say Habar El.
El Bar Melkiyahu.
That would have been the Smichus form.
So why is there a hay? Bar b'smichus im hay idea kamo ha'am ha'milchama ha'aroin ha'baris. Sometimes we have two hays. The adaimim lohem v'chein tirgim. You understand? Samach l'guva the Malkiyah bar Malka. Near to the pit of Malkiyah, that was the name of the person, the son of Malka. Vayashlichu es Yirmiyahu b'chavolim. They lowered him with ropes. Shul shalo osoto chabar. They load him with ropes. Ki choya amuk, because the pit was very deep. Okay, so far they throw him into the pit. Now what happens next? Pasuk Zayin. Vayishma eved melech hakushi ish saris. Now here we are introduced to this mysterious man. His name is eved melech, the slave to the king hakushi, who is a Ethiopian who is black. Who is this person? So this is a very big mystery. According to most of the parsha, we'll see over here on the page, this was none other than Baruch ben Neriah. The same person, the sofer, the scribe, the loyal servant of Yirmiyahu, the secretary of Yirmiyahu, he was the one who actually wrote Megillas Eicha. So he was also a servant, a loyal servant to Tzidkiyahu. He's called over here the slave of the king, and he's called Akushi. And there is a discussion in the Mefarshim, why was he called Cushi? We'll see in a few moments. There were four people in Tanakh who are called Cushi. Number one is Tzipora, Isha HaKushis. Number two, Klal Yisrael. You are a nation of Cushim. It's one of the Haftaris. Haloi b'nei Cushim atem. Okay, you are Cushim. The third one that's called the Cushi is Shaul. We see this in Tehillim. David sang a mizmar, thanking Hashem for saving him from the Cushi. Who is the Cushi? From the hands of Shaul. And the fourth person to be called the Cushi is Baruch ben Neriah. Now, why are they called Cushi? So the simple interpretation is they were exceptionally different. Isha HaKushis means that she was extremely beautiful. Moshe Rabbeinu's wife was unusually beautiful, and that's why she's called a Cushis. Just like a Cushi is unique in their skin, everyone right away everyone sees that a person, a Cushi, when he's standing among white people, he stands out because his skin is a different color. Likewise, a person who is beautiful stands out among everyone else. That's why she was called Cushi, Isha HaKushis. Why was Shaul called Cushi? Why was Baruch ben Neriah? And why was Klal Yisrael Cushim? It means they are tzaddikim. Their conduct, their midos, their hanhagos are different than the rest of the world. They stand out. They stand out as being unique and special, different and better than everyone else. So that's why they're called Cushim. The only exception is that some of the Mepharshim learn that when it says the word Cushim in regard to Klal Yisrael, Hano b'nei Cushim atem, so some want to learn that day when it says b'nei Cushim by Klal Yisrael, it's a musr, is that you're behaving like non-Jews. You are dirty in sin. Hashem is giving Klal Yisrael musr, that you should be tzaddikim, but instead you have filthied yourself, you have dirtied yourself in doing averos. So there, when it comes to Klal Yisrael being called Cushim, some Mepharshim learn it's a compliment, that they are unique, they are tzaddikim, they are special, and some of Mepharshim learn it as an insult, that they are doing averos and they are dirty in sin. But when it comes to Tzipora, and when it comes to Shaul, and when it comes here to Baruch ben Neriah, when we use the word Cushi, it's being used as a compliment, either extremely beautiful or special in Ma'asim Tovim and good deeds, and that's why we call them over here a Cushi. Okay, so we go over here further. So they were thrown into the cave. Let's see what it says in the Mefarshim. Pasik Zayin. No, where are we up to over here? Pasuk Vav, right? Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Zayin. We did. Let's read one more time. We read Pasuk Zayin. Sorry, one more time. Vayishma Eved Melech Hakushi Ish Sharis Vehu Beis Hamelech Ki Nasnu Es Yemi Beel Habar Hamelech Yosef Sharin Binyamin. Okay, so the Eved Melech Hakushi, who was a Saris, he was an officer, and he was Beis Hamelech. He was there by the king. Ki Nasnu Es Yemi Beel Habar. He saw that the king gave permission to these people to throw Yirmiyo into the pit. Vayamelech Yosef Bishar Binyamin, and the king was sitting in the gate of Binyamin. Pasuk Zayin in the Mitzvah David Eved Hamelech. Shemo Ha'atzmi. This was his name. His name was Eved Melech. I told you one interpretation that it was Baruch ben Neriah. Other Mepharshim say that he was the king of Ethiopia. He was Mamash HaMelech, and he was so enamored and so enthralled by the greatness of Klal Yisrael Tzidkiyahu that he came to Tzidkiyahu to serve as his slave. Similar to the Pilegesh Timna, the Pilegesh of who was Timna, the Pilegesh of Esav. She wanted to marry into the family of Avram, and Avram said, well, I'm not sure, I remember which person, and Avram said, you cannot marry into our family. So she said, it's better, even though I'm a queen where I come from, it's kedai for me to...
Yaakov.
Who?
It was a plague of Esav.
Of Esav. So she wanted to marry into... She was a queen. She was a queen, and she wanted to marry into Yaakov's family, and Yaakov did not want to accept her. So she said, so it's still kedai for me to abandon my position of authority of being queen and serve as a slave to the Jewish people. The same thing over here. This person, according to one of the Mepharshim, was a melech mamish. He had a very high position, a very good lifestyle, but he recognized the greatness of Klal Yisrael, even during this period of time when Klal Yisrael was at the verge of destruction, and he abandoned his authority in order to be a slave to the Melech of Tzidkiyahu. So let's see, we'll get to Kushin Mitzudis. Kushi Be'oiro, his skin was black. Ish saw this. Ish saw he was an officer. Fu bebeis hamelach, and he was this melech kishashama haya bebeis melech. When he heard the report that they're going to Yirmiyah, and they're going to throw Yirmiyah into the dungeon, he was hamelach. Ki nasnu musav al vayishma. He heard the hamelach was haya melech yoshe b'shar hanikra shar binyamin. Rashi pasik zayin eved hamelach baruch ben Neriah. Like we said before, the student of Yirmiyahu, who is also here serving as a slave to Melech Tzidkiyahu Hakushi, Tzidkiyahu. Now he's called over. Now here's the point that we have to clarify. I told you when it says the word Kushi, Kushi is going on the Eved. It's not really clear. When you translate the words, he was an Eved to the Melech Hakushi. Is the word Kushi going on the word Eved, that the Eved was a Kushi, or is the word Kushi going on the word Melech? So it's not clear. So if you learn the Pshut Shalom Mekor, the Gong Baruch Ben Neriah, according to some of Arshim, Baruch Ben Neriah was a Kushi. He was a tzaddik. He was unique in his deeds. It is Maisim Tovim, and a Kushi is a metaphor. However, Rashi learns Kushi is going on the word Melech, and Kushi refers to Tzidkiyahu. And Tzidkiyahu was a Kushi, meaning that he was a tzaddik. The problem is that he's a tzaddik, Why did he allow the people to take Yirmiyah and throw Yirmiyah into the pit? That's a very big mystery. Like we said before, he had no choice. The people said it's either you or him.
There's problems. I mean, obviously it's very ambiguous. We know that Rashi takes his opinion from the Medrash. But it's hyphenated. The name Eved Melech is hyphenated.
Is that
a difference? Because then that would take away, then that would make it either.
The Kushi is going back on Eved.
And then Kushi has to refer to himself, not to Melech.
Right, exactly. Right. So Enochnami, so Rashi is disagreeing. Rashi is taking out the hyphen. You're right. So Rashi Enochnami is taking out the hyphen. Let's see, Kushi Tzidkiyahu. Rashi learned the Kushi Tzidkiyahu. Ma Kushi Meshuna Be'oiro. Just like Kushi is unique in his skin, the color of his skin, Tzidkiyahu Meshuna Be'Tzidkoy Mikol Doro, he was unique. The Yesh Medrash Dorish HaKushi Al Boruch, like we said before, like what the Mitzvah says. Some say the word Kushi is not going on the word Melech, it's going on Boruch Ben Neriah. He was the Tzaddik, he was unique in his generation. Ish saw this, Gever Rav, he was a mighty person. He was an officer by the king. Let's see Zayin in the Radak, Eved Melech Kushi, Zeho Ish Hoye Eved Melech. This man that we're referring to that tried to save Yirmiyahu, who was a slave to the king. For Hayakushi, he was dark in skin, Visarius, and he was an officer. The Yonasim Tirgim, Avda de Malka, Tzidkiyahu, he translates the word Kushi in reference to the word Melech. And we're referring to Tzidkiyahu, like Rashi said in the first interpretation, that he was righteous in his deeds. The Tirgim Ish Sodis, Givar Rav, he was a mighty person. The Chayin Rabbeinu Zohar Levracha. That's kush. That's dark. That's that means black, right? But it'll be
strong. No, it doesn't mean dark. Just appear.
Gerav v'chein.
You can say a negrita when you want to talk about
a negro.
No, a pretty
woman.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Well, it just means black.
Uh-huh. Aha. Black is beautiful.
That's all that should be.
Right, black is beautiful. V'chein Rabbi Seinu Zichronim Levracha Perush Perushoi Akushi Al Tzidkiyahu. V'yamuran, they said, Ma kushi zem should be oray, after the kiyom should be tzidko, he was unique in his righteous, but b'meid oray. V'anshe, they're hoyu royim, the people of the generation were wicked. V'yamu zeho, eved hoyu baruch ben eriya, and this slave was baruch ben eriya. V'hanochoin b'enai oid, ki zeh kushi eved hamelech hoyu, shmo, another interpretation, this kushi, his name was Eved HaMelech, that was his name. Ki lulei zeh lama ama ama b'chol makom Eved HaMelech. Why do we keep on referring to him later in these psukim as the name of Eved HaMelech? V'loi amar HaMelech v'echad behem, and we do not say the word Melech by one of them. Ki im ritzonu loimar Melech, if we want to say ritzonu loimar Melech al tzidkiyo, hayu loi loimar Eved HaMelech. We should say, okay, what is going on over here? Eved HaMelech. Why does it say, why is there a Hey Hayidi lacking? The fact that the Hey Hayidi is lacking indicates that this was his actual shame, his name, Ho'atzmi. This was his name. It wasn't just a descriptive, it's not a description name. This is his actual name. Why is he not mentioned? So it must then be Elo Shemo Hoya Eved Melech, Kimotzan. We find other examples. Achimelech, the Avimelech. We find other examples like this. This name was a common name. Achimelech, the brother of the king, or Avimelech, the father of the king. So here we have another name of Eved Melech. You would think then that there should be no space. It should be just one word. But yet, this is what it says both in the Radak and in Mitzudos, that this was his actual name, Eved Melech, and he was a Kushi, he was dark in skin. According to Chazal, this refers to Baruch ben Neriya, and the reason why he was called a Kushi was because he was a Tzaddik. And according to the third interpretation, there was a person who was an Eved to the Melech. We have to make believe we have a Hey Hayidiyah, and the Melech was Hakushi, meaning that Tzidkiyahu was righteous in his generation. So three interpretations, plus the fourth interpretation. I told you that we're referring over here to a person that's not Baruch ben Neriya. We are referring to a person who was indeed a king of Kush, and he abandoned his Malchus to serve as a slave to Tzidkiyahu, recognizing the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Chazal say that this person, whoever this person was, he was one of the few people who entered into Gan Eden alive. Okay, there are only a handful of people in Tanakh that we have a tradition who entered into Gan Eden alive in reward for being Moiser Nefesh to save Yirmiyahu against the popular opinion. He entered into Gan Eden alive. Okay, next. Let's go back to Pasuk Ches, further in the story. Vayetze Eved Melech Mibes HaMelech. He exited the king, the palace. He went out of the Beis HaMelech and he went to the Shar. The king was standing by the Shar Binyamin. So this person, he left the palace and he went to the Shar Binyamin to speak to the king. And he said as follows, Adoni HaMelech, Heireu Ho'anoshim Ho'ele Eis Kol Asher Asu L'Yirmiyahu HaNavi. These people have done very, very evil deed, very evil thing to Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Eis Asher Hishlichu El Habar, this, that they threw him into the pit. Vayomos Tachta B'nei Harav, and he's going to die there. This person is warning the king that Yirmiyahu is going to die there because of the famine. Ki Ein Halechem Oid Bo'ir, because, what? Vayamos is in the.
It should be
Vayamos. Vayamos, right? So it should be in the future tense, but I don't know the answer. Sometimes I do not know, but here the way it's translated, sometimes words that are written in the past tense are written in the future tense are translated in the future tense, and that's over here what it means here simply. Vayamos, he will die. Tachtov, he will die there. Mibnei Harav. Ki ein halechem oid bo'ir. There is no longer food in the city. Now this means one of a few things. First of all, right now we learned in the previous parak is that when the king said put him in prison, he said give him pas kubar, give him bread from the chutz, give him poor quality bread. But now that they've thrown him into the dungeon, he won't even get poor quality bread because no one sees him. The dungeon was very, very deep. No one would even pay attention to him. So now, certainly, he's going to die from starvation after being thrown into the pit. As we mentioned before, he really...
There's no food left to give.
No food. Okay, let's see the Halam Farshan Lundi's Pasuk. Let's go back. Let's go to the Pasuk Tess, back in the Mitzvah Pasuk Tess. Hey, Reu. Pasuk Ches, Vayetze Lovo Lashar Binyamin El HaMelech. So this person, the Eved HaMelech, Akushi, he exited the palace to go to the Shar Binyamin to speak to the king. And he said, Hey Reu, Ritzon Eloimar, Kol Ma She'osu Es Yirmiyahu Osu Ra. Everything that they did to Yirmiyahu is evil. The Av Ki Es Asher Hishlichu El Abar, this that they threw him into the pit is evil. Vayamos Tachtov, Ritzon Eloimar. So right away the Mitzvah is coming to pick up on the question that you asked. It should say in the future tense, not in the past tense. Ritzon Eloimar, V'im Kavanosim She'yomos V'lo Yisnabe Od. If their kavan is that he should die, and he should not give prophecy, if their intent was that he should stop speaking and not weaken the resolve and the morale of the people, so just leave him alone. He will anyway die of starvation because there is no food left in the city. Why do they have to go and take his life with their own hands? Let them do nothing. And anyway he will die because anyway we're all starving to death. So that's how the Mitzvah wants from Shan this pasuk. V'yomos tachtav means just means not like I told you that now that they've thrown him, he will die there. Mitzvah is saying that let them do nothing, let him just remain where he is, and anyway v'yomos he'll wither away and die in his home, in his current location, mibnei harav, kein lechem, because anyway there's no food to feed the people. So why are you allowing, giving permission to take him and to take his life with their hands? Let's see what it says in Rashi.
Throw him into the pit.
Anyway, you're going to die. Anyway, that's how the Mitzvah Sum Shan the Pasuk. Let's see what it says over here in Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk, Tes. V'yamas tachtav, ilu hinichui oysa b'mukhamo, hoye meis me'elav. Barav, the same exact thing. If you just leave him alone, he will anyway die. V'heim heiriu l'kari v'sasso. They have done a very evil deed to accelerate his death. Let's see what it says in the Radak. Pasik Tes, the Yamus Tachta Bibne Harov Kavla Mus Tachta Bimkaimo, there's no need to throw him into the pit, let him die where he is in his hometown. Bibne Harov, Kiba Oit Shahoy Bukhatsa Hamatara, Hoyu Roin Oiso. So he learns a little bit differently. So he learns the interpretation tied to that I told you before. Bibne Harov, Kiba Oit Shahoya Bukhatsa Hamatara, while Yirmiyahu was in the prison, the original prison, Hoyu Roin Oiso, people would see him. They would have pity upon him. They would give him food. We learned yesterday that the king gave a command that he should have a stipend, that they should feed him poor quality bread from the street. Now that you're going to throw him into the pit, no one's going to see him, and he's not going to get food, and he's going to die very quickly. This that we said there's no food in the city, does not mean that there is no food. There is food, but it's very hard to get. Now that they do not see him and did not pay attention, he will die very quickly. So the Radak is obviously learning Pshan the Pasuk different than the Mitzudos and Rashi. Rashi and the Mitzudos are explaining that the Eved HaMelech HaKushi is coming to demand, do nothing, he'll anyway die from starvation. Whereas, according to Radak in the second interpretation, he's explaining, by throwing him into the pit, you're now going to bring about his death immediately, because now no one's going to see him, no one's going to feed him, and if he would be allowed to be left alive, then they would feed him. And when it says there's no food in the city, it doesn't mean there's no food in Mamish, it means food is not easy to find, but food can be found with difficulty, and that difficulty is enough for him to survive. But now that you're going to throw him into the pit, he's going to die quickly. Okay, so what happens now? Now we come to Pasuk Yud, and now comes the rescue. Vayitzave HaMelech Eis Eved HaMelech HaKushi Leimor Kach B'yodcho Mizeh Shloishim Anoshim. He says, Enoch Hanami, okay, I give you permission, I warn you, go take with yourself 30 people. And go right away and retrieve him, remove from the pit before he dies. Now why 30 people? The Mepharshim explain, how many people do you normally need to lift up a person from a pit? A person has been lowered into a deep pit and you want to lower some ropes and you want to pull him up. So how many people do you think normally takes to pull a person out of a pit? So Chazal say 3 people. That's the normal standard. That's how they train in boot camp. Okay, that's how they train in boot camp. You need 3 people. Three people are needed to raise one person from a dungeon. However, due to the famine, the people have become so weak, each person has been reduced to a tenth of a man. Only have a tenth of what strength you normally would have, and therefore you need 30 people to take out one person from the dungeon. What? Oh, so you're saying, but the person... So you don't... So he... But I don't know the answer. Good point. So he's also very strong, so you don't need such a strong... You don't need such strong people. I don't know. Good point. Let's see what it says over here in the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos pasuk, you kach biyotchem mizeh, min amochem hazeh kach, imchof from this place, take for you, shaloshim anoshim, 30 people, v'al yodam toitzi es yiriyo min abar, and through them you will retrieve yiriyo from the bar, ad lo yomus, before he dies. Ulefit shohoyu teshushay koyach, me'akas har avon, because they were so weak due to the torture of the famine, hutzruchu, there was a need for shaloshim, for 30 people. Rashi shaloshim anoshim, bitoch shekoychon tosh, Brav nitzruchu kulon. We need 30 people. Radak yud shloish manoshim hutzruchu shloish manoshim lohitzi adam echem min abar bibnei shetoshash koicham bibnei har, because they're very weak.
Okay. Long time.
Not that long. Doesn't seem he was there for such a long time. No, to throw him in, you just throw him in. Going down is easy. You just throw him in. You lower him into the pit. But to go, maybe they did. Maybe many people together loaded. That doesn't say they want. That's what they wanted to do. As we said before, it was a nace. According to Chazal, it was a nace that he survived because the pit was filled with water and mud. And al derech hatev, the mud should have been on the bottom and the water on top, and he should have drowned. It was a nace that Hashem caused the mud to rise, and the mud prevented him from going below water and drowning in this pit. Okay, let's see. Let's go further. Now we come to the rescue. The rescue, Vayikach Eved Melech, this person, Eved Melech, and so for that was his name. Es Hanoshim, the 30 people, Biyodo Vayovoy El Beis HaMelech El Tachas HaOitzar. He came to the palace, to the place that was below the storage location. Vayikach Misham, he took from there, Biloyei Sichavois, worn out rags. Uviloyei Milochim, scraps. Milochim means shmatis. Now, I don't really know the difference between the words sivachois and milochim. Look at the Mitzudos Tzion. Sivachois, inyon gereira vehamshacha ba'aretz, things that you drag on the ground. And milochim itayichus inyon hashchasa, they have been destroyed, worn out. Okay, these are two different words which pretty much mean the same thing. Shmatis. He went and he took from the storage house of the king some shmatis. Why? He's going to throw the shmatis to Yirmiyah and tell Yirmiyah, put these shmatis underneath your armpit. And then when I lower the rope, put your rope, then the rope will go, will be above, the shmatis will be a buffer between the rope and the armpit, because if the rope comes in contact with your body, it'll rip your arms off. Because Yirmi was so weak and emaciated from the torture, he would not be able to be lifted, he would not survive the lifting through the ropes. So therefore, what? Padding. So that's what the purpose over here is for. They took over here the Biloyei Sechavois, Uviloyei Milochim, Vayishalchem, and send them El Yirmiyahu, El Habor Bachavolim, and send them to Yirmiyahu with through the ropes. Send them down to him. Pasuk Yibetz, Vayoymer Eved Melech Hakushi El Yibiyahu Simno Put Biloei. Notice here we're changing the spelling. We're adding over here an Aleph. Before it was just with the Yud. Biloei Hasivachois Vehamelochim Tachas Atzilos Yidecha. Put it underneath your armpits. Mitachas Lachavolim, beneath the ropes. Vayas Yirmiyakein, and he did so. Next pasuk, Vayimshuchu es Yirmiyahu Bachavolim. He was lifted with ropes. Vayalu oisum abar vayeshev Yirmiyahu b'chatzar matara, and they returned him to the chatzar, the courtyard of the prison. He was no longer in life, was no longer in danger. Okay, let's see the pesukim yiralf miyadoi ritzon olaymar imoy uvirushuso. So this person, the Eved Melech, he went and he retrieved 30 people. He took them el tachas oitzar makom yimso sham begodim shechakim uvuluyim. He went to the king's storage center and he took out some shmatis. Biloyei sechavois begodim buluyim haruim ligorim lahashlichem al chutz, garbage, garments which are worn out, which are fit to drag them and throw them into the street. Okay, something very similar, things which are worn out. I don't know the difference between the two. He lowered them to Yirmiyah. And look what it says here. He did not throw them to Yirmiyah, because if he would throw them down, they would also sink. They would also fall into the mud and be lost. So therefore, he had to lower it with precision to Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah can grab it and can put it underneath his armpit. Okay, tachas, he told them, put these things tachas at silos yodecha, kisham hachavolim tachas, space hashachi, la loisa bezib, because that's where you put the rope, you put the rope into the armpit in order to pull the person up, ulchein tzivolo lohasim shama habagadim habaluyim, tachas tachavolim, laman lo yaziku lohachavolim, in order that the rope should not rip off his arms. Why is all of this necessary? I really don't know. There must be some real deep midrashim. I didn't come across anything of why he has to tell you these details. He took two different types of garments, he lowered it, and he told them to put it on put the ropes. Just let it say in the pasuk. He went and they took Yirmiyah out of the pit. If the pasuk. That's the lesson. The lesson over here is that he wanted a delicate to be very delicate in how he took him out of the pit. We want to teach for the righteousness of the Evan Melech. Maybe. And that's why Chazal say that he entered into Gan Eden when he was alive. He did not have to suffer. He did not suffer death. Okay, but if the Pasuk would have not have told us all these details, the Pasuk would have just said that he went to Yirmiyah, he went to the Melech, and he said to the Melech, Melech, what are you doing to Yirmiyah? Give me permission to save him. And the king says, yes, go save him. And the Pasuk would then say, and he went, and he saved him. Vayam shichu yisoy min habar. Okay, it doesn't say by Yosef at Tzaddik, when they pulled him out of the bar, how they pulled him out. It doesn't say, did they throw down rigs and told Yosef, put the rigs under your armpits, and then they threw down the ropes and put the ropes. It doesn't have all this detail in the Parsha. And in fact, the Medrash does make some analogies between, they say that, the Medrash does say, is that this was a kapara for throwing Yosef into the bar. This torture that Yirmiyah suffered by being thrown into the bar, being pulled up, was the kapara for the chait of Mechiras Yosef, of being thrown. So you see the Chazal to make this analogy. So why over here are there so many details, and why there are there less details? Okay, another interesting topic of discussion that's brought down in the Medrash is that when this was happening, Yirmiyah said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you don't have enough ladders in this world. That's a very mystical medrash. You don't have ladders. Hashem, you have ladders. Like we say in the Yom Ram, we say, Mi Yishofel Umi Yorum. Hashem, He lowers people and He elevates people. So Hashem, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu lowers and elevates, the medrash says it's done through ladders. People go up steps, they go down steps. So Yirmiyah asked Hashem, why do they have to pull me out of this pit through ropes? Why can't they just throw down a ladder? They have long, tall ladders. They can send down a ladder, and I'll climb up the ladder. Isn't that more Bakovedic? Something along those lines. And Hashem said to him, Yirmiyah, you are a descendant of Rachav Hazoina. And Rachav HaZoyin, that's a chiddush, that he was a descendant of Rachav HaZoyin. Who says he was a descendant? He was a Kohen. Wasn't he a Kohen, Yirmiyah? So I guess from the mother's side, whatever it was, Rachav HaZoyin, how did she lower the Meraglim? Through Chavolim.
By ropes.
She
had to be a relative of Yeshua.
And a Hanami. Everyone is related. We're all related. Even to you, maybe we're related somehow. So Hashem says, because your Rachav HaZoyna, should we lower the people through ladder, through ropes? The Nela, it's fitting that you also should be lowered, should be lifted, raised through a rope. And what is the deeper meaning of this medrash? The Mepharshim don't explain, but obviously it's very interesting. Over here, we're dealing over here the very different extreme of the time of Eretz Yisrael. Rachav HaZoyna was the very beginning of Eretz Yisrael. This was when the spies came to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Here, we're dealing with the Tekufa, that's the tail end of Eretz Yisrael. Yirmiyah is predicting the gloom and doom. We're here holding 1 year before the Korban. He's telling everyone the Eretz Yisrael is going to be destroyed, and they throw him to the dungeon, and now he's being released, and we're trying to remind ourselves of the ropes of Rachav HaZoyna, the glorious days when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. So perhaps the imagery is that even in the times of darkness, in the ultimate times of darkness, you should know this is also a new beginning for Eretz Yisrael. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Boirei the Refuah before the Makkah. Here, there's a Churban that's coming. Yirmiyah is predicting the Churban. He himself is about to die. But now look, Yirmiyah is coming to life. Yirmiyah is on the verge of death, at the very last moment he's coming to life through the ropes, meaning that with Yirmiyah's coming to life is beginning the renewal, the rebirth of Eretz Yisrael. You don't see it happening, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu already is planning the renewal of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's see what it says over here in the, we finished the Mitzudos. Let's see what it says in Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud Beis. Rashi Pasuk Yud Alf Yud Beis. Biloyei Hasevachos. Biloyei Begodim Hanis Chovim. Worn out rags. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vahamilochim. Loshen Rik Voin. Rat. Decay. Kmo Ke Eshen Nim Lochu. Like dust, like smoke, they have worn. Like smoke, they have worn away. Tachas atzilos yodecha. Put these rags underneath your armpits. Shelo yazikucha hachavolim. That the rope should not rip off your arms. Atzilos. He has here a French word, which I'm assuming it means the armpit.
Yeah, a cell, which sounds excellent. Much like
yeah, excellent.
Sounds very similar. Yeah.
As what?
Excellent is the Latin word for armpit.
The armpit, okay. Pasik Yudalit. Okay, so Yirmiyah, this is a very big simcha for us. Yirmiyah has survived. We're learning here about Yirmiyah. Sefer Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah lives to see another day. Just about, he almost, the Medrash in fact says that when they tried to save him, Yirmiyah didn't respond. They called out when he was screaming to Yirmiyah. They did not know, Eved Melech did not know if Yirmiyah was still alive. Because, in fact, it says in the Medrash is that when Yirmiyah was thrown into the dungeon, it was thrown into the pit, and they saw that he's still alive. It was a pella. How could it be that he's still alive? Because the dungeon was, the majority was water. He should have drowned. It was only because the Kadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle that caused the mud to rise that he survived. So they actually were encouraging him, Yirmiyah, put your head on the mud to rest. And they felt that by telling him that, he would sink into the water and he would die. So the people were trying to kill him. They were very disturbed that he did not die when they threw him into the dungeon. However, now, when they came to rescue him, and they called out, Evan the Melech called out, it says in the Medrash, that Yirmiyah did not respond. Because Yirmiyah thought, was not able to hear well who was calling to him, and he thought the people that threw him into the dungeon, they were calling to him, trying to persuade him to do something which would endanger his life. So he did not respond. And Eved Melech was very disturbed. He had enormous tsar. He thought that because Yirmiyah is not responding, it's too late. Yirmiyah has already died. He ripped his clothing and he cried bitter tears. And those bitter tears, that cry was unique. Yirmiyah was able to recognize this was not the sound of his tormentors, but was the sound of Baruch ben Neriah. And he opened up his eyes, he looked up, he saw Baruch ben Neriah was there, and he called out, yes, I'm alive. And then they began this procedure of retrieving Yirmiyah from the bar. Okay, now, Yirmiyah is alive. What happens next? What happens next is Tzidkiyahu calls for Yirmiyahu and has a private conversation. Vayishlach ha-melech Tzidkiyahu, vayikach es Yirmiyahu ha-navi elav. The melech Tzidkiyahu, he calls for Yirmiyahu, he brings him to him, el mavoi ha-shalishi. This was the third highway. Okay, highway number 3. The word mavo means an entranceway. What does it say in the Pesach Shabbat Derech Bo? Okay, it's an entranceway. An entranceway. Hashelishi, the third one. Hashem Beis Hashem. That's where he brought him. Vayomer HaMelech El Yirmiyahu Shel Ani Yitzcho Davar. I want to ask you some questions, or at least one question. Al Tichached Mimene Davar. Do not lie to me. Do not deny me an answer. Vayomer Yirmiyahu El Tzidkiyahu Ki Agid Lecha. I'll tell you, indeed, ki over here means ki, ki means if. I'm sorry, ki means if. Agid lecha haloi hameis timiseni. Why should I answer you? If I will answer you, you'll kill me. V'chi i'otzcha lo sishma eloi. And if I'll give you advice, you're not going to listen to me. So here we learn something very important about Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah had two roles. Number one, he had a role of telling him the message of Hashem. Number two, he had the role of giving advice. And that's very important for the next pasuk. So Yirmiyah over here says, I'm not going to tell you anything, and I'm not going to give you advice, because it's going to fall on deaf ears. And worse, you're going to kill me. Pasuk Tezayin. Vayishava HaMelech Tzidkiyahu El Yirmiyahu Basay Selemer. He swore to him secretly, saying, he didn't want people to hear what was going on. Chai Hashem, I swear, Asher Osolonu Es HaNefesh Azos, I swear to Hashem, who has made for us Es HaNefesh Azos, this neshama, meaning his own neshama, I swear to Hashem by my neshama, Im Amisecha, that I will not kill you. The Im Etencha Biyad Hoanashim Hoela, I will not return you, give you over to the hands of these evil people. Hashem Avakshim Lesnafshecha, that want to kill you. In other words, answer my questions, and I promise you, I swear to you by my life that I will not harm you, I will not kill you, and I will not give you over to the people that want to kill you. Now, notice he does not swear that he will take his advice. Yirmiyahu complained to Tzidkiyahu, why should I speak to you? If I'm going to tell you what Hashem said, you're going to kill me. If I give you advice, you're not going to listen to me. Tzidkiyahu says, I swear I'm not going to kill you. But Tzidkiyahu did not swear that he will listen to his advice. The advice you give, Enochinami, I may decide to ignore, which indeed he did. Okay, let's see these two psukim. Let's see these two psukim, starting with Pasuk Yudalit. Pasuk Yudalit to Pasuk Tezayin, the Mitzvah started. Nevo Hashlishi, Tachas Ezras Yisrael Shehachel VeEzras Noshim Lefonecha. So he translates something very, Nevo Hashlishi is the third entranceway, which is the Ezras Yisrael, because what comes before the Ezras Yisrael? There is the Ezras Noshim, and before the Ezras Noshim is the Chel. The Chel is a small area, I think it's only 11 amas wide, and that was a barrier where Goyim were no longer allowed to pass. So that was considered to be the first entrance. When you come to the Har HaBayis, the first checkpoint is the Chel. The second checkpoint is the Ezras Noshim. The third checkpoint is you walk up Shar Nikanor, time by Sheni, you now come into the Ezras Yisrael. So it says the place where Tzidkiyahu met with Yirmiyahu was in the Beis HaMikdash itself, in the Ezras Yisrael, when you come into the Azor HaMamish, and that's called the Mavo HaShlishi, because it comes after 1 and 2, after the Chel and after the Ezras Noshim. Next, Shoyel Ani Eischa Davar, I want to ask you something. Ritzoinu Loimar, Ma Diber Hashem, what did Hashem say? Univuaso Asheru Isa, the Nevuah which you have seen, the Altimna Milahagid Lidavar Hashem, and do not hold back from telling me what Hashem said. I want to know Hashem's Nevuah. I don't hold back from telling me exactly what Hashem said. So Yirmiyah says, why should I tell you? You'll kill me. Ki agid im agid k'chaymer lo ma'agilucha. Halo yeishli sakana b'davar. V'gam l'cha ein toilas. There's no benefit me telling you. Number one, it's not good for me. It's not good for you. Ki im iyatzcha b'dvar Hashem yinei lo yishman li. If I'm going to give you advice, you're not going to listen to me. Pasuk tes zayin. Tzidkiyahu responds, I promise you, I swear to you that I will not, by the neshama, es hanefesh hazos. Hanesuna beguf kol echad me'itanu. I swear to you by the neshama that's in our bodies. I swear to you. It's an interesting way to make a shua. You normally swear on your own life. Here he's swearing on everyone's life. I swear to you by the power of the neshama that I'm not going to kill you. Period. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasik yudalid mavo hashlishi lo yadati hechanu. So Rashi, unlike the Mitzugos, says he does not know the deeper meaning of the word where this place is. V'shema be'ezras Yisrael, he may be this Ezras Yisrael, like what the Mitzugos said, Leimar, Shachel v'ezras noshim lefoneha. Okay, what does the Mitzugos say? Pasuk Yudalit, El Mavo Hashlishi, Makoim Shohoyu Boim mi'beis HaMelech le'beis Hashem. The place where they went from the Beis HaMelech, from the king, the palace, to the Beis HaMikdash, we learned to David, there were some very elaborate entranceways between the palace and the Beis HaMikdash. El es asher asa, kosov es v'loy kui, we do not read the word es, in this Shavua, Chai Hashem, es asher asa lanu es hanefesh hazos. So the es is not to be read. V'chad min ches d'ksivin v'loy kai, this is one of eight places, I guess in Sefer Yirmiyah, where we have it written and it's not to be read. Pasuk tezayin, Asher also lanu es hanefesh azos nishbalo be'ein ha'inyan ba'amo lo haloi hames tmiseni. Yirmiyah said, why should I tell you going to kill me? Upeirushoy hanefesh hazos hi hamedaberes kiloimar hanefesh asher bo koyach adibun v'nevuah. The nefesh that gives forth prophecy. Hashem. It refers to Hashem. Hashem. I swear by Hashem. I swear in the name of Hashem that Hashem who provides life to the person's neshama, that I will not kill you. Okay. So now let's go further. So here Yirmiyah finally gives over the response, and he tells him these words. And these words are very explicit. We had this concept many, many times alluded to that he should surrender, but here probably from all the plays in Sefer Yirmiyah and Sefer Melachim and Sefer Yecheskel is the most explicit. Here Hashem is his many names for Hashem. Hashem who is Lekei Tzavakos, Lekei Yisrael, Im Yotso, they'd say, if you will go out, El Sarei Melech Bavel, if you will surrender, then V'chayso Nafshecha, you will live. V'hir Hazos Lo Sisareif Bo'esh, the city will not be destroyed. V'chayiso, you will live. Ata Ubeisecha, you and your family will live. I'm giving over here the choice of life. V'imloy Seitse, El Sarei Melech Bavel, if you're not going to surrender and go out to the office of the Melech Bavel, V'nitno Ho'ir Hazos Be'at HaKastim, then the city will be destroyed by the Babylonians. Usirav by the Chaldeans, okay, they were the partners of those Babylonians. Usirafu v'esh v'atol lo simolate miyodam, and you will not escape. Vayoymer Hamelach Tzidkiyahu Yirmiyahu, ani doig es haYehudim asher naflu el hakastim. So Tzidkiyahu said, I can't follow your advice. I cannot follow the word of Hashem. Hashem is telling me advice, but I'm afraid es haYehudim asher naflu el hakastim. I'm afraid about the Jews who have defected to the Kastim, pen yitnu osi biyodam v'hisaluvi. I cannot surrender because the Jews who have surrendered will encourage if I surrender, then the king of Bavel will give me over into the hands of the Jews who have defected. And the Mefarshim, the Ma'am Lewis explains, is that at this point in time it was similar to what happened during the time of the Bayis Sheni. We know at the time of the Bayis Sheni there was a civil war in Klal Yisrael as exactly what to do. There were the Bir Yoinim. Anyone remember all the details? There were three different groups of how to deal with the siege in the time of the Churban Bayis Shlishi. There were those Vayasheni. There were those that wanted to surrender, and there were those that wanted to fight, and there were those that just wanted to do nothing, just to hold out. What? Just to hold out.
To wait and see.
So there were three different groups. And unfortunately these three different groups did not get along and they fought among themselves, and that's truly what brought about the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. They could not agree among themselves what to do. There was too much infighting. Same thing over here happened during the time of the Bayis Rishon, but not three groups, it appears only two groups. There were those that wanted to surrender, like Yirmiyah, and there were those that wanted to either fight or hold out, whatever it was. So there was a major conflict between these two groups. The hatred between these two groups of Jews was even worse than the hatred of the Kastim against the Jews living in Yerushalayim. So it's very remarkable of what exactly Yirmiyah over here what Tzidkiyahu says. I'm not afraid of Melech Bavel. You're right, I'm not afraid of him. I'm not afraid. I'm willing to surrender to Melech Bavel. What I'm afraid of are the Jews. I'm afraid of my own brothers, because we have been having over here a long debate among ourselves what to do. Two parties. Should we surrender or should we fight? And I was of the and the people, the ones that my opinion was to fight, and those who surrender are very powerful and they hate me intensely, and if I now go and surrender, ultimately I'm going to be delivered over into their hands, and who knows what they are going to do to me, how they are going to take revenge against me. So here Yirmiyah rejects flat out the advice of Yirmiyahu and the word of Hashem. Let's see these psukim inside. Pasuk Yitzayin. In the Mitzudos David, Pasuk Yitzes, Es HaYehudim, Min HaYehudim Asher Natu Mi'oz El HaKastim, I am afraid of the Jews. I'm afraid of the Jews that in the past, that thus far have surrendered, Pen Yitnu, Pen ha-kastim. If I surrender to the kastim will then hand me over to my fellow Jews who have already surrendered, and who knows how much torture they will bring upon me. Pen ha-kastim yimasru oisi biyadam al shegdimoy lahashlim imohem. This that I made peace with them, the Hayhudim Ohem Yis Aluvi, and these Jews will now come and mock me. I was their arch enemy in the past, and now I'm capitulating, I'm giving in, I'm also surrendering, but the old hatred they have from before is going to catch up with me. Rashi, Pasik Yutes, Doyeg. Doyeg means Yore. I am afraid. Pegin will see Hakastim Biat Hayhudim Loimar Malkechem Yihi avdechem. Now that we've captured your king, let your king now be your servant. Al shekidamtem lahashlim imanu, as a reward because you have first surrendered. Being that you surrendered before you will be rewarded. That will give your king to you as your servant.
This.
Right, but it was old hatred. They were following Yirmiyahu's advice, but there was a deep-seated hatred that went back from the past. This was a long-standing debate between two groups of Klal Yisrael. Should they surrender or should they fight? The group that wanted to surrender had a deep hatred for Tzidkiyahu. And now when Tzidkiyahu will finally surrender, too little, too late. Look at all the torture you've caused us. Look at all the problems you've caused us. Now it's time for us to take revenge. And in fact, the king of the Kastim will insist that revenge be taken, where Tzidkiyahu will now become the slave of these people. Okay, let's see. V'salbi yaharguni, bikidiros, nekamu, v'zoyon. They're going to kill me with stabbings of revenge and disgrace. Lefi sheheshlimu es ha-kastim bigineva. Because I had no choice but to surrender through Gneva, like deceit. I'm not sure what he means over here. If I would have
known that those that already left would be leaving, I would have killed them before.
I would have killed them. I would have killed those people. So for now the tables are turned. So they're going to kill me. Okay, let's go for it. Pasig vayomer Yirmiyahu lo yitenu. So Yirmiyahu said it's not true. Yirmiyahu said you're making a mistake. Nothing's going to happen to you. Listen to Hashem. If Hashem says that you should surrender, you have nothing to worry about. They're not, the Kasdim are not going to give you over to the fellow Jews who hate you. Lo yitenu, kama, shmano. Listen now. B'kol Hashem, la'asher ani doiver lecha, v'yitav lecha. It will be good for you. Usechi nafshecha and you live. Pasuk habeis. V'im moynato lotseis dover zem asher hir ani Hashem. I'm sorry. V'im moynato lotseis. And if you zeh hadover asher. If you do not want to go out and do this matter which Hashem has told you,
this is what Hashem showed me.
Then watch out. What's going to be v'hine kol hanoshim? Now we're going to discuss the women. All the noshim asher nishar beveis hamelch Yehuda mutzaos. They're going to be brought out el sorei melch babel v'hema oimos, and they are going to say hisisucha. They are going to say that the yachlu, they have enticed you, hisisucha, the yachlu lecha anshei shlomecha, and your friends have prevailed upon you, hot bu'u vaboitz raglecha, your feet are sunken into the mud. Nasogu achor, you've gone backwards. Now let's see exactly what this means. I didn't prepare this. Let's see that. Let's see what it means over here in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Chav Beis says first Pasuk Chav. Lo yidnu lo yimashrucha kastim bidei hayudim. So Yirmiyah says it's not true. Do you have nothing to worry about? And they're not going to deliver you. Lo yimashrucha hakastim biyad hayudim. Pasuk of Aleph, Zeh Hadav Ritzon Leimar, Agilcha Dvar Hashem, Zeh Hadav Asher Hiranish, the following is what Hashem showed me. Kol Hanoshim, Nishay HaMelech Yehoyachin Asher Nish'aru Po V'lo Yatzu Limosu B'yad Melech Bavel Be'ez She'yatzu Yehoyachin. The Nashim here that we're referring to over here means the family of Yehoyachin who went into exile 10 years before. Now Mutzaos, they're going to be brought out. Tiena Mutzaos, they're going to be brought out. V'hinei Hanashim Ohena Toimarno Elecha, they're going to say Olecha about you. Hinei Hisisu Oischa Anshei Shlomecha, your friends convinced you, persuaded you. Who are your friends? Haim Nevi'e Hashaker, Shahoy Lucha Shalom Imohem. Your friends are the ones the Nevi'e Hashaker you have peace with. Haim Hisisu Oischa. They have persuaded you. Leval Hikona LeMelech Bavel. Ki Nibu Lucha B'Shaker. They have prophesied falsely. Vihine Yachlu Lucha. They have prevailed upon you. Ki Nimshach Ta'achanechem. Because you have indeed followed after them. Hitbohu. Haim hitbo raglecha babutz, they have caused your feet to sink in the mud. Butz here translates in the mud, in the Mitzvot Seal translates it as mud tit. Ritzon Olamar, haim gamu lucha hatzar hazeh, they cause you this pain. Vehema chozru ochor lamu mineged, and they're not going to come to your rescue in your time of difficulty. Ki ein biyadam lo hayishiyacha, they're not going to be able to save you. Okay, next pasuk, is the next pasuk, v'yaz kol nashach v'yaz benadecha, and all of your wives and your children, motziim el hakastim, will be brought up to the kastim, v'yato lo simlo, you will not be spared miyadam, ki biyad melch bavel titofes, v'yaz u'ir hazoz tisref po'esh, and this will be burnt in fire. Pasuk Hagil in the Mesudos, Motziam, you Motziam, they'll be brought out. Tisroif, Ki ilu ata, Tisroif, as if you yourself are burning the city. Ki ata, hu ha-gorim, you're the cause. Al she'encha yotzei lahashlim im hakastim, because you're the one who causing, it's all going to be your fault. You're the one who refused to surrender, and that's why it's going to be on your head, the destruction. Let's see what it says over here in Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk HaBeis, Anshei Shlomecha, Nevi'ei HaShaker She'omru L'cha Lo Si Lokeit. The Nevi'ei HaShaker, the ones who said that you're not going to be captured, they lied to you. Now the day of reckoning is coming, you're going to be captured. They have caused you to sink into the mud. The butz, tit, lashoin, hayige, goyme, beloy, bitza. Do you dig a pit without mud? Bitza there means mud. It's as if you are lighting fire to the city. You're the cause of this city being destroyed. Let's see the Radak. Pasuk of Beis. Pasuk of Aleph. Asher Hirani. Okay, Bechirik. Asher Nisharu Beis HaMelech Yehuda Vehu Yehoyachin. The wives, the women that remained in the cities of Yehuda. This refers to the wives of Melech Yehoyachin, the predecessor of Tzidkiyahu. Kesheyatzohu v'yimo el Melech Bavel Nishar b'beis v'chanoshim ha'achiros. When Nebuchadnezzar exiled Yehoyachin and the Charesh v'hamasker, he left the most of the women alive in Yehuda. V'yatoa now, you motzos el sore ha'melech Bavel. They're going to be taken captured. They're going to be captured by the king of Melech Bavel. V'hinei oimros. And these women are going to say, the Hanashim Oimros Kinegdecha, Keshaim Mutzos, they are going to blame you. When these women are going to be taken outside, they're going to blame you for what has happened. Hisisucha Anshei Shlomecha, you, Tzidkiyahu, you are guilty. You have been persuaded, misled by your friends. Who are your friends? The Nevi'ei HaShaker, Vehasorim, Shohayu Maminim Bohem, and the princes that believed in them. Hisisucha, they have persuaded you, Shloi Tashlim, Imelch Bavel, Viyachlu Lucha, they have overcome you, Anshei Shlomecha, Sheholachta Achar Datam, after their advice. Hitavu babutz raglecha, they have caused your feet to stick into the mud. Babutz betit uviyavon min hayige goyme bulibitza, the same passage that we quote in Rashi. Bitseisav ugivav, okay, whatever that means. Raglecha chosayud harbe harabe mehaksav. Nasagu achar, and now these people, they're going to stand far away. They're not going to come to your rescue when you're in time of difficulty. Shlo yuchlu raglecha lechas lifnehem. V'nasagu achar, you're not going to be able to follow them. They're going to be far away. Amar ze al derech mashal oy lefi sheshiguhu rakasim kishoy barech. Or it means literally is that they caught him when he was running away. The dogesh samach hisisucha tmuas noyach hisisucha. Okay, I don't know what that means. Okay, pasuk of gimel. Pasuk of Gimel Mo Pasuk Mutzoy Melakastim Moitziim Oysam Hamoitziim Mibnei Hoir Oyakastim Shnichnasu Leir Kishavu Kishek Kav Shua, Hotziyam Elakastim Shay Bechutz, they took him out of the cast and they were outside. Tisraif Ba'esh, Ata Tia Garim Shatia Srufa, it's you the cause of being burnt, Lefisha Lo Tirtse, Lot Seis Aleim, Ula Hashim, you do not want to surrender. Hareki Ilu, Ata Tisraf, it's as if you yourself are burning the city down. Okay, so we'll stop over here with Pasik Chaf Dalet.